Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Samach Beis. We have a whole bunch of ground to make up due to the truncated shir yesterday. We only made it to the very, very top of Samach Aleph Amud Beis. So we are today hopefully going to finish the balance of the sixth perek. And we're going to encounter a series of Mishnayos again, all really talking about Nizkei Eish, picking up on topics that we began discussing yesterday with regard to the efficacy of barriers between properties and how high a barrier has to be in order to render you putter if your fire indeed crosses the barrier to your neighbor's property. We're going to talk about the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that we had been alluding to for the past couple of days, which is whether tamun be'esh is chayiv, whether if you light a fire, your fire burns down a field, your friend has something hidden inside the field, whether or not you are going to be chayiv or pater, and whether the halacha is different if you're burning something, if you started a fire in your own field and then it moves to your friend's field, versus if you started a fire in your friend's field. There are certain things that if you burn down, then you have to expect that something is there. So, for example, if you burn a field down, you might be justified in expecting that there's only produce that you're liable for, but there's not other things hidden inside the field. Whereas if you're burning a tower down, or if you're burning a house down, then you have to assume that there is something inside the house, because the derech of people is to store something inside of a house. So we'll see exactly what we have a license to assume is in the house, what we don't have a license to assume is in the house, so on and so forth. And then the Mishnah on the top of Samach Beis, Mabez is going to talk about, again, finishing off the topic of liability for fire. What happens if a blacksmith is working and he strikes a hammer and the hammer emits a spark and the spark damages something? What happens if somebody is leading a camel that's laden with flax through a public thoroughfare and somehow catches fire? What circumstances he's chayiv? What circumstances he's putter? Maybe the storekeeper's chayiv in some circumstances. So we'll see all of this, God willing, today. So again, picking up from the very, very top of Samach Aleph Amud Beis with the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Hamadlik betoch shalo, if a person lights a fire on his own premises, on his own property, ad kama tavar ad leika, so how far from his border does he have to distance the fire in order to render him putter if the fire then spreads to his neighbor's field? So Rav Elazar ben Azaryo Marono Sekilu Bemtza Beis Kur, that we view him as if he's in the middle of a Beis Kur. What does this mean? This means that if his property is a Beis Kur large, then, so long as there's a half base core on either side, in other words, so long as he's lighting the fire exactly in the middle, he is going to be putter. Rashi says over here that we're talking about uva kolachas. We're talking about the sort of straight type of fire that we were discussing yesterday. Aval nechfefes, however, that bent fire, the fire that's either windblown or the fire that creeps close to the ground and spreads very easily, baras v'olechas kol sho'a filu ad meya mil chayev. Then depending on what sort of fire you're lighting, if you're lighting a standard fire, then it's enough to view yourself as if you're in the middle of the base core, and so long as you have a half a base core on either side, you're going to be putter. But if it's the windswept fire or the fire that creeps close to the ground and that sort of fire we saw yesterday, you're chayiv even if you leave 100 mil. In other words, it's impossible to light such a fire on your property without you being chayiv, because that's an inherently dangerous fire that's extremely prone to spreading. But for a standard fire, we saw the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azaryu says that you need a half base core on either side. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tezayin Amos Kederach Rishu Rabin. Rabbi Elazar says, no, you don't need that much space. You only need 16 Amos, because 16 Amos is the width of a Rishu Sarabim. And we saw yesterday, Rabbi Elazar Shita is that the fire will not cross the width of a Rishu Sarabim. Therefore, so long as you leave that amount of space between the fire and the edge of your property, you are going to be potter. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chamisha Amos. Rabbi Kiva, the third Shita, says 50 Amos. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shalem Yishalem Hamaver Sabeira. The Pasuk says, Shalem Yishalem, double Lashon, that the person who lights the fire shall pay. Hakol Afi Adleika, meaning that everybody, that everything is dependent on the size of the dleika. So what does this mean, that everything is dependent on the size of the dleika? So Tosfos says, Tosfos over here says kasalka daitach on top, kasalka daitach hakolafi hezek hadleika yishalem afilu ein roy lavar. The assumption that we'll see in the Gemara in a second, that hakolafi hadleika means that Rav Shimon is saying that you're always chayiv, and you're going to, what are you going to be chayiv? You're going to be chayiv for the amount of damage that the fire causes. But you'd be chayiv for the amount of damage that the fire causes, no matter how much room you leave on your property. Even if you leave a ton of room, even if you leave a half base core, a half an acre on your property, and the fire jumps over the border and goes to your friend's property, the assumption over here, the operating assumption of what Reb Shimon means in the Mishnah, is that you're nevertheless going to be chayiv. We'll see. That's not quite what Rav Shimon meant. So says the Gemara, "V'lesele Rav Shimon shira b'dleika." So do you assume that Rav Shimon doesn't impose a shir by dleika? That Rav Shimon is just going to flat out say blanket halacha that you're going to be chayiv no matter how large a distance the fire travels before crossing over to your friend's property? So Vatnan, we learn in another Mishnah, lo yamid adam taner b'toch habayis, that a person is not allowed to put an oven inside his house, imkein yesh al gabo dalet amos, unless there is between the top of the oven and the ceiling for Amos, because otherwise it generates too much heat and it will weaken the beam in the ceiling and might cause it to catch fire. Hayamamidu ba'aliya, if you are putting the tanner, if you're putting the oven in the attic on the second floor, ache tachtav ma'aziva shlosha tfachim, then the floorboard, then there has to be three tfachim between the floorboard and the tanner. Ubikira, and by akira, which is a type of oven that doesn't get as hot, tefach, then we see that by akira the shear is a tefach. Vim hizik mishale masha hizik, and if the tanner or the kira cause damage, notwithstanding that you left the requisite amount of distance, the requisite shear between the tanner and either the ceiling or the floorboard, you are going to be chaya. Vim hizik mashalei masha hizik. Rav Shimon Omer, and here's the raya. Rav Shimon Omer, lo nemru shiurim alalu elashim hizik pater milashalim. What are you talking about, Tanakama? That if damage is caused by the tanner or by the kira, even if you left the requisite amount of space, then you're going to be chayiv to pay? If that's the case, then why in the world did the Mishnah give me these shiurim? Why did the Mishnah recommend that I back up, that I leave four tvachim between the ceiling and the top of the tanner, three tvachim between the bottom of the tanner and the floorboard? It's obvious, because if I'm complying with those shiurim, then I should be potter. So we see that Rav Shimon says, if there's a shiur, and you comply with the shear, even by damage of fire, which is damage caused by an oven, you're going to be potter. So how can you say in the Mishnah, how can you say in our Mishnah, that no matter how much space you leave, Rav Shimon is going to say that you're going to be chayiv? Over here in this other Mishnah, Rav Shimon says there is a shear, because we give a shear of four tvachim or three tvachim, and if you comply with the shear, you're going to be potter. So what's going on here? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Hakolafi Govad Leika. What Rav Shimon means in our Mishnah is not Hakolafi Ad Leika, that you have to pay for the amount of damage that your fire caused no matter what, even if you backed up. It means that there is a shear. Rav Shimon is saying there is a shear. I don't know whether the shear is a half a base kur, or the shear is 16 tvachim, or the 16 amas rather, or the shear is 50 amas, because Rav Shimon is saying that the shear is dynamic. It depends on the size of the fire. If I have a massive fire, then I'm not going to say that the shear is 16 tvachim. Maybe over there I'll say if the shear is a half a base kur. Maybe it's even more than a half a base kur. If it's a small fire, maybe the shear of 16 tvachim is enough to separate the fire from the... maybe even a smaller distance is enough to separate the fire from the neighboring property. So the Rishonim explain that not only is it dependent on the Govad Leika, but it's also dependent on whether the field is filled with things that are very, very flammable. And there's further a Machlokas Rishonim, whether this concept of Rav Shimon saying that a kolafi govad leika, that everything depends on the size of the fire, deals only with empty space between the fire and the neighboring property, or if it even deals with the height of a wall or a river. We had said yesterday in the Mishnah that there are three things that separate between your property and your neighbor's property, either a wall or empty space or a river. So maybe it's only by the empty space that Rav Shimon says the larger the fire is, the larger the empty space has to be. But if it's a wall, maybe a four-amah wall, which we said yesterday is good, is going to be good enough no matter what the size of the fire. Maybe if there's a river, because the river has water, maybe the river is going to be wide enough if it's the shear of eight amas, like we saw yesterday, even if it's a very large fire. So the Rif says that Rav Shimon is cholek also by a geder, also by a wall and a river, not only by the width of land between the fire and somebody else's rishos. But the Amshel Shlomo argues and says that Rav Shimon is only cholek with regard to the shear of empty land between the fire and the neighboring property, but by the wall and by the nar, he agrees that that standard size, four amas for the wall or the standard size for the nar, is going to be sufficient no matter what the size of the fire. So we have a machlokas rishonim on that. But what we've done here is we have reinterpreted Rav Shimon. We've reinterpreted Rav Shimon so that he doesn't say that you're chayev no matter what. He says whether you're chayev, whether you've left enough space, depends on how large the fire is. Finish up in the Gemara. Some Rav Yosef, some Rav Yudah, Amar Shmuel, Alecha Krav Shimon. Chayna Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Alecha Krav Shimon. So we paskan like Rav Shimon. Says the next Mishnah. Hamadlik esagdish, bayu bokelim vidolko. If a person burns down a stack of grain, a person burns down his friend's field, and there were kalim hidden in the field, and they got burned. So now we have the famous machlokas that we've been discussing the past few days, Rav Yudah Omer Mishalei Masha Betocho, that you have to pay not only for the gdish, not only for the produce, but also for what was hidden in the produce that you burned. V'chachamim Omerim, E Mishalei Mele Gdish Shel Chitin O Shel Sorin, that you only pay for the gdish Shel Chitin or Shel Sorin. You only pay for the produce, for whether it's wheat or barley that was there. Haya Gdi Kafus Lo, Ve'evet Samach Lo, V'nisrafimo Chayev. If there was a kid, if there was a little goat bound to the gdish, or if there was an eved near the gdish and they got burnt with the gdish when you burned it, then you're going to be chayev. What are you chayev for? So it's important to pay attention. Chayev ala gdish ve'ala gdi. You're chayev only on the gdish and only on the goat. But you're not chayev on the eved. Why? Because what did we said? We had said was the eved samachlo. There was an eved standing close to there, but there was nothing binding. There was nothing tying the eved to the field. And therefore, the eved, who was a human being who has knowledge, who has common sense, should have known when he saw the fire to run away. Since the eved should have known to run away on his own, you're not going to be chayiv if the eved is burnt. However, you are going to be chayiv for the gdi. Why? Because the gdi could not have escaped because the gdi was bound to the gadish. Therefore, you're going to be chayiv. Now, says the Mishnah, eved kafus lo v'gdi samach lo v'nisraf. If the eved is tied to the gadish, if the eved is tied to the field, ugdi samachlo, and there's a gdi standing next to the field, v'nisrafimo, and it's burned with it, then putter, then you're going to be putter. Why are you putter? Because it means that you're putter for the, you're putter, because legabe the eved, we applied the principle of kumle bidarab amine, because the eved was tied, the eved was locked up and couldn't escape. Therefore, when you burn down the field, you are responsible, you are liable for killing the eved. If you're liable for killing the eved, you're chayev misa for killing somebody, and because you killed a person, and therefore you're going to be chayev misa, we're not also going to impose a monetary penalty. We say kamle b'derabim minei, and therefore you are not going to be, and therefore you are not going to be, and therefore you're not going to be chayev. Okay, so says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Vayter, umodim chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda, and the chachamim who said that ordinarily you are not chayev for tamun. But this is in the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Chachamim who say ordinarily that you're not chayev for tamun, they agree to Rav Yehuda, who says that you are chayev for tamun b'madlikas abira when you light a castle. Why? When you light a tower, rather. And Tosfos says that we're talking about a birush ena shalo, that you're talking about where you just go set fire to your friend's tower for whatever reason, for kicks, Mishalim Masha Betocho, that you pay for what's inside. Shekein Derech Bnei Adam Laniach Bebatim, because it's a Derech Bnei Adam. What do you think people do with a house? They store things in a house. So if you burn down somebody's house, you're going to be chayiv not only for paying for his house, but you're going to be chayiv also paying him for everything that is within his house. All right, so says the Gemara. So Amar Rav Kahana, Machlokas b'madlik b'toch shalov, aholcha v'yachla b'toch shal chaveiro. The Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, whether you're chayiv for tumen or not, applies only when you light a fire in your property, and then the fire crosses the border and goes into your friend's property as well. The Rav Yehuda mechayiv aniskei tumen be'esh. The Rav Yehuda says you're going to be chayiv for nezek to tumen. For Rabbanan patri, and the Rabbanan say you're going to be pater. However, if you actually light the fire in your friend's field, then everybody would agree that you have to pay for whatever's in your friend's field, because you had no business lighting a fire in your friend's field, and it was on you that you assumed the responsibility for whatever your friend might happen to hide in his field. But if that's the case, says Rava, Adatani Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah, where we say, Modim Chachamim L'Raviyud B'madlik Asabira Shemishalem Kol Masha B'tocho, where Rav Yehuda says that he admits where you light a fire, where you ignite your friend's tower, that you have to pay for everything that's in the tower, Shekein Derech Bnei Adam L'Aniach B'batim, because it's a derech of people to store things in their houses, Likula Liflog V'lis Nebedidei. Why don't we argue Lagabe the Halach of a field itself? B'medvar Mamur, when do we have the machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim b'madlik b'toch shalo v'olcha v'yachla b'toch shal chavero? That's only where you light the fire in your rishos and the fire then spreads to your friend's rishos. That's where Rav Yehuda says that you're chayav for tamun and the Chachamim say that you're potter for tamun. Avol madlik b'toch shal chavero divrei akol mishalim kamasha b'tocho. However, if you're going to light the fire in your friend's property, then according to what you're telling me, Rav Kahana, in the Gemara, then everybody should agree. Then everybody should agree that everybody should agree that you have to pay even for tamun. So if that were the case, that everybody agrees that you're chayef for tamun when you light the fire in your friend's property, why in the Seif of the Mishnah, when we try to distinguish and bring a case where everybody says you're chayef, even the chachamim, why do we all of a sudden start talking about a tower? Let's start talking about where you light a fire in your friend's field. That way, there would be a greater parallel, a greater comparison in between the Reish of the Mishnah and the Seif of the Mishnah. Selam Arava Batarzi Pligi. They argue in both cases, says Rava. Pligi b'madlik b'toch shalov olcha v'yachla b'toch shal chavero. They argue in the Reisha, where you light the fire in your field and then it goes to your friend's field. The Rav Yehuda mechayev atam and beish Rabbanan Savri lo mechayev, that we have the machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Pligi navi b'madlik b'toch shal chavero. And we even argue by madlik b'toch shal chavero, we still have that machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Rav Yehuda over mishalim kamasha b'tocho v'afilu arniki. The Rav Yehuda says you have to pay for no matter what your friend has in the middle of his field, even if it's a wallet, even if it's something that ordinarily is not found in a field. Rabbanan Savri kelim shedarkan lahatmin b'gdish k'gom arigin uklei bakur d'mishalim kelim shein darkan lahatmin b'gdish l'mishalim. The Chachamim say no, you're going to be chayev for some things that are in the field if you actually lit the fire in your friend's field, but you're not going to be chayiv for everything that's in the field. What are you going to be chayiv for? You're going to be chayiv only for things that are ordinarily hidden in the field. In other words, like threshing tools, or a clay bucker, or tools that you use with animals. That sort of stuff is typically kept in a field, therefore you're going to be chayiv for it. Other stuff that's not typically kept in a field, you are not going to be chayiv for. Tanu Rabbanan. So we have a brisa. If a person lights a fire to a stack of grain, and there were kalim hidden in the grain, and you burn the kalim, Rav Yehuda or Mishalim Kol Mashaya B'Tocho. Rav Yehuda says that you're responsible to pay for whatever was in the field. You only have to pay for the gadish. You only have to pay for the produce, for the grain that was stacked up. However, what we do is kalim take up space, right? So the more kalim are there, the less produce you burn, but you're not going to provide a boon to the person who's setting the fire and making him not liable for the grain because there happened to have a kalim there. So basically we view the mukam of the kalim as if there were grain, and you're chayav to pay for the grain. Now, when is that? That's only if you light the fire in your own field and then it goes over to your friend's field. Now up to Samach Bezim and Allah finally. Aval madlik b'toch shal chavero, However, if you light the fire and your friends feel mashallah kamashay betocho, then you have to pay for whatever was in your friend's field. Now, according to Rava, whose shita we just saw at the end of the previous daf, that when we say mekshalim kol masha betocho, it doesn't dafka mean kol masha betocho, it means only to the extent there were things that are ordinarily stored in a field. According to the first shita that we saw, kol masha betocho is literal, that if you light the fire in your friend's field, then both Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim would agree that you have to pay for whatever it is that your friend is storing in his field. And Rav Yehuda also admits that Rav Yehuda admits to the Chachamim, if you lend space to your friend to store his produce there, in which case you're becoming a shomer on the Sadeh, you are taking on a responsibility of shmira, vehigdish vehitmin, and the guy put grain there, and he also then put other kalim inside the grain that he then put in your property. In that case, you only have to pay the Dmei Gedish. You only have to pay for the produce that you burn. Why? Because again, this is a case where you let somebody else store something in your land. You let him store grain in your land. So you are willing to accept Shmira for the grain that he gave you. Therefore, if you then light a fire in your property and it burns down your friend's grain, you're chaya for it because you accepted a Shmira on it. If your friend happens to have brought Kalim inside the grain, and you burn down the kalim too, then you're not going to be chayav. Why? Because yes, you were makabel shmira on the grain, you were never makabel shmira on the kalim. Okay, lahagdish chitin vigdish siorin. If you gave him permission to store chitin, to store wheat in your property, and he stored siorin instead, siorin vigdish chitin, or if you gave him permission to store siorin and he stored wheat, chitin v'chipin v'siorin, if you give him permission to store wheat, but he covered the chitin with siorin, siorin v'chipin v'chitin, if you give him permission to store siorin, but he covered them with wheat, sheinim shalom el dmei siorin bavad. In each case, you only pay the dmei siorin. So, because that's what you gave him permission, that's initially what you gave him permission so says Rashi over here. So Rashi in the second to last wide line, afal pishnosin la rishos lechitin, ena mishalim elasorin de amarle lo reisi elasorin lefichach lonas harti bam kolkach. Because even though in some of these cases you did give the guy permission to store wheat in your property, wheat is more expensive than barley, as she mentioned, and therefore if you gave the guy permission to store wheat in your property, why would you only be chayev for dmei siorin? And the answer is because here the guy did this weird thing where he had wheat, but he covered the wheat with seorin, and therefore you only saw the seorin. So because you only saw the seorin, you thought, why am I going to trouble myself to put out the fire? Even if I burn down his barley, I'm only going to owe him a minimal amount. Then he comes to me and he says, hey, just kidding. By the way, the seorin was only on the outer layer. The whole inner stack of the produce was wheat. It was much more expensive. Therefore, you owe me $1,000 instead of $50. So the guy could say, no, I'm not responsible. I saw only seorin. That's why I didn't make a move to put out the fire. So that's why in each of these cases you're only going to be chayav for dmei seorin. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Sama Rava, Hanosin Diner Zav Leisha, if a person gives a Diner Zav to a woman, Vamrla his Haribo shall kesefu, and he says to the woman, be very careful with his Diner, it's a silver Diner, but really it was a gold Diner that he gave her. So Hazikaso, if she actively damages it, in other words, if she burns the Diner or if she throws it into the river, Semeshalem is Diner Zav, then she has to pay for a Diner Zav, even though she thought she was only watching a Diner shall kesef. Why? Mishum de Amrla, my havele gabechta, de is katia. What was this dinar bothering you that you affirmatively damaged it? In other words, if you're going to go affirmatively damage something, then you're acting so out of character, you're so liable, you're going to be chayev for a dinar shalzov, even though you only thought it was a dinar shal kesef. Pashabo, if however she was a posheya, but she didn't actively damage it, mashalemet shal kesef, then she only has to reimburse you for a dinar shal kesef. To Amrale, because she could say to him, the tirusa the kaspa kibili alai, the tirusa the davalo kibili alai, I only accepted upon myself the responsibility of guarding a dinar shal kesef. I did not accept upon myself a responsibility of guarding a dinar shal zav. So Amarle Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. So says Rav Mordechai to Rav Ashi, Yasom b'de Rava masnisula, anami masnisa pshitalan. You guys learn this on the Shita of Rava. I learn it on the Shita of the Mishnah. Chitin v'chipan b'sa'orin. If you have wheat that you cover in barley, or sa'orin v'chipan v'chitin, or barley that you cover in wheat, ena mashalim ela d'mei sa'orin b'lvad. That you only pay for the d'mei si'orin. Alma amarle nitirusa d'sari kibili alayu. Kabili alai. It's evident that the reason that you're only chaya for Dmei Seorin is because the fellow in whose field the Seorin is in the fellow in whose field the grain is placed can say that I was only makabel upon myself shmira on the less expensive Seorin and not on the more expensive chitin. Hachanami amrelani terusa dedava lo kabili alai. Therefore, this woman can also say that I never accepted upon myself guarding gold. I only accepted upon myself the responsibility of guarding a silver dinar. So, Amar Rav Shmaya Milsa l'Rav Yehuda v'leyadana mahi. So Rav Shmaya said something to Rav Yehuda and didn't know what it was. So Amar Shmuel v'leyada abba my shmile l'Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel says, is it possible that you don't understand what Rav Yehuda told you? How can it be? So the mechayev al niske taman be'esh that your chayev al niske taman be'esh, that's a sheet of Rav Yehuda that we saw in the Mishnah, that your chayev, if you burn down somebody's field, or if you light a fire or if you light a fire in your field and it goes to your friend's field, then you're chayev not only for burning down the produce, but also you're chayev for what is hidden inside the produce. So asu takonas nigzal beisho. So what does this mean? So says Rashi. So Rashi here is about 2/3 of the way down, 3/4 of the way down. Osu takonas nigzal beisho ki eichid k'ton rabbanon lenigzal lishava kamba gazlo v'yitol. Just like we see in Maseches Shvuos that the nigzal, if somebody had something stolen from him, he takes a shvua and he says what was stolen from him. Elu nishbam v'notlin. That's considered one of the cases of nishbam v'notlin, that he takes a shvua, and once he takes a shvua, he actually gets to collect. Hasacher v'nigzal kach tikno be'esho sheyishba ma hitmin v'yitol. So we make this takonas nigzal by eish. So again, if we said the halacha is according to Rav Yehuda, if you light a fire and it burns down your friend's field and he has something hidden in the field, then you're chayav for what was hidden in the field. How do we know what was hidden in the field? What was hidden in the field is now going to be burnt. Once it's burnt, there's no evidence. Once there's no evidence, how do we know whether to believe him? So what we do is, just like by a nigzal, the nigzal has the ability to take a shvua and we believe his shvua and we let him collect. So too, this guy who claims that he had something hidden in his field, he's going to take a shvua. And once he takes a shvua, we're going to let him collect. So boya meimar, asu takonas nigzal b'moser olo. Do we apply the takonas nigzal by moser? By moser is when somebody is moser somebody over to the malchus. Like if somebody rats out somebody else, and therefore the informant causes the fellow who was informed upon a loss, does the fellow who experienced the loss, is he able to take a shvua and say to the informant, you caused me such and such damage, and therefore you're chayiv? So do we apply this takonas nigzal by a moser, by somebody who was informed on by an informant or not? So Aliba demandi amar lo dadinan dinan degarmi lo tabay loch demesiris nami lo daninan. According to the Mandi Amar, who says that we're not done dina degarmi, then there's no question that we also don't impose liability by moser. What's dina degarmi? So let's back up a second. So there are basically three categories of hezek. There is direct hezek, and if you cause direct damage, then you're certainly chaya for direct damage that you cause. Then there's garmi, which is indirect, which is causative. It's not literally direct. It's you do something that causes damage, but the cause and effect is very closely connected. So the result of your action is felt immediately, and it's felt directly. Then there's grumma, which is even further removed. Grumma menezikin is going to be putter. Grumma is where you do an act, and your cause causes an effect of damage, but the cause is indirect. It's more indirect, or there is a delay. there's a time delay. That's how some of the grumma stuff works for yontif by the stoves. There's a delay in the cause, in the action, and the ultimate result. So grumma menazikin is potter. Direct damage is definitely chayiv. Garmi, this sort of indirect, a little bit, is going to be subject to a machlokas. That most shitas hold that don dina de garmi, that we do impose liability for garmi. There are some shitas who say that ain't don dina de garmi, that we don't impose liability. So, if I'm an informant and I go and I'm moser somebody else to the malchus, so I didn't actually go and physically destroy his things, I didn't go and physically harm him, I did something that ultimately led to him being deprived of his property. That I definitely did. So that's considered to be garmi, because it's a fairly direct connection, but it wasn't a direct damage. Now, according to the Ma'ariv, it says, let lo don, ena don, dina de garmi, that we're not going to impose liability for garmi. Well, then, if somebody else informs on his friend and gives him over to the malchus, then he's the informant, not going to be chayiv, because it's no worse than garmi. However, but says the Gemara, elakiti boilach, aliba de mandermer de don dina de garmi, according to the Mandemar, who says that don dina de garmi, that I am going to be chaya for garmi for this sort of indirect causative damage, like where I'm giving somebody over, where I'm informing on somebody and I'm being moser him to the malchus, so asu takonas nigzal b'moser, the Meshabeah v'shakil alo. So do we make this sort of takonas nigzal? In other words, the fellow who was informed on, can he go back to the informant and say, because you were moser me to the malchus, you caused me to lose XYZ, and he could take a shvuah and then collect from the other guy? Or do we not protect him with his takonas nigzal, and the Gemara leaves it as a teku? Okay, so says the Gemara Viter, Hu gavra de batash bekaspitsa de chavre. There was a guy who kicked his friend's money box, Shadia ben Arei, kicked it straight into the river. So Asya Mare, Ve'amar hachavachi have begave. So the master, so the owner of the money box came and told his friend who kicked it into the river that you owe me such and such because that's what I had inside of it. So Yosef Ravashi v'kama ayin bay. So Ravashi was sinning and he was ma'ayin. Ki ayin gav namai. What's the halach in this case? Amrli Ravina l'Ravacha b'rei d'Rava. V'amri l'Ravacha b'rei d'Rava l'Ravashi. Lo haynu masnisin? What do you mean? Isn't this a Mishnah? D'tnan. Umodem chachamim l'Ravi Yehuda. B'madlik es abira. Shemeshalim kalmasha b'tocha. Shekein derech b'nei adam l'niach b'batim. The Sefer of Mishnah says that even though Rav Yehuda and Rav Chachamim have a machlokas, whether you're chayef or tamen ba'esh, when you burn down a field, when you burn down somebody's house, then you're chayef not only for burning down the house, but you're also chayef for the contents of the house, because the way of normal people is to store contents in a house. So the derech of normal people is if you have a money box, to put money in your money box. And of course, when you kick the guy's money box into the river, you're going to be chayev not only for the box, but also for the money inside of it. So Amar Leis, they said, Itakaton Zuze Hachanami. Of course, if the guy was claiming that he put money in his money box, then certainly I would agree that he's chayev. Hacha Dekaton Marganisa. Over here, he was claiming not that he had money in his money box, but that he put a precious gem in his money box. So my, what's the halacha? Mi manchi inish Marganisa Bekaspata. Oh, lo, is it the derech of people to put a precious stone, a precious gem in a money box, in which case the guy would be chayiv? Oh, lo, or is it not, in which case he'd be putter? Teku, so again, we leave this unresolved. So, Amar Rav Yemer LeRavashi, Ton Kasa de Kaspa Bebira. What happens if the guy claims that when his friend burnt down his tower, that not only did he have stuff inside his tower, this was no storage shed, he had his whole collection of silver inside the tower. And therefore, your chayev, you owe me a lot of money. So, he had a silver goblet. Zamai, Samarle, well, Chazina, I inish amidu, Tisle Kasa de Kaspa, Inami imish mehemnehu. Well, we have to assess, is the guy a rich guy? If the guy's a wealthy guy, and it's plausible that he had his silver collection inside this tower, then you're chayef for a silver collection. Or if he's a very trustworthy guy, and therefore, even if he's not wealthy, but if he's very trustworthy, and therefore we could assume that other people are going to give pikadon, other people are going to give stuff to him to watch, then the fellow who burns down the tower is going to be chayev, even if the guy claims it's for, even if the guy claims that he owes him his whole collection of silver. But if he's not the sort of guy, if he's not either a very trustworthy guy, or if he's not a very wealthy guy, then no, we will not believe him that he was storing his whole collection of silver or his whole fine arts collection inside his tower. So Amar Rav Avi LeRavashi, Ma bein gazlan lechamson. What's the difference between a gazlan and a chamson? So amar lechamson yavdami, gazlan lo yavdami. A gazlan doesn't pay for the object that he steals. A chamson, a fellow who grabs something, does pay for something that he steals. So says the Gemara, amar le iya yavdami, chamson karisle. If he pays for the object, you're going to call him a chamson. Vamar avuna taliu v'zavin zvina zvine. That if a person, literally it means if a person hangs somebody up in order to induce him to sell you an object, and he ultimately does sell you the object, then the sale is valid. Meaning that even if you force somebody to sell you an item under duress, it's considered to be a sale. So if there's a sale, you are called a purchaser. You're called a lokeach. You're not called a chamson. Why are you called a chamson if you've given money? Says the Gemara, lokasha hadamar rotzani yadalamar rotzani. When the seller ultimately says rotzani, then you're considered to be a lokeach. When the seller does not say rotzani, then you're considered to be a chamson. Turning over to Samach Beis Amabez, says the Mishnah, gets sheyatza mitachas hapatish. Now we have a case where the blacksmith is working, and a spark is emitted from under his hammer, v'hizik, and causes damage. Chayev, he's going to be chayev. Why is he chayev? The Meiri explains, because the guy, the store owner, is negligent. The blacksmith is negligent for working so close to the entrance of his store. He should have backed up further inside his store. He should have moved all the way into the store so that the sparks that emit from his hammer should not have flown out and caused damage to something outside the store. Gomel shayaton pishtan, if a camel was laden with flax, v'yavar b'shus harabim, and it's traveling in the Rosh Hashanah, v'nichlas b'shtana l'tocha chanos, and it's so overladen with flax, the flax is spread out, and the flax actually goes into the store, into somebody's store, v'dolko b'nei Rosh Hashanah, and the chenveni and the storekeeper had a flame there, and it ignites the flax, v'hidlikas abira, and then that fire, the flax catches fire, and then the fire goes from the flax to a tower and burns down the tower, balagamal chayev, the balagamal is going to be chayev. Why? Because he was a poshea. Here the balagamal was a poshea, that he overloaded his animal with flax. He put too much flax, so it was too wide, and therefore he was taking responsibility for the fact that the flax might intrude into the store and get lit by the storekeeper's flame, and that it might cause other damage even to a bira. So inia chenveni nero mibachutz. However, if the chenveni puts his candle outside the store, hachenveni chayev, then the chenveni is going to be chayev, because the chenveni had no business putting the candle outside the store. However, Rav Yudom Rabbi Narchanaka Potter, by Narchanaka, if it was not a regular candle that the chenveni put outside the store, but rather it was Narchanaka, then the chenveni is going to be Potter. So, Amar Avina Mishmei de Rabba, Shma Minam and Rav Yehuda, so we see from Rav Yehuda focusing on the seif of the Mishnah, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lanicha betoch hasara, that it's a mitzvah to put the Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because if you wanted to say that there is no mitzvah, that there's no mitzvah lechatchila to put the Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground, but it could be even above 10 tefachim from the ground. So amai amar Rav Yehuda Ner Chanukah potter. Why does Rav Yehuda say that your potter, that the storekeeper, if he puts a regular candle outside his store, then he's going to be chayiv. But if he puts a Ner Chanukah outside of his store, he's going to be potter. Why is he going to be potter automatically by Ner Chanukah? Let's say, if you could fulfill the mitzvah, putting the Ner Chanukah more than 10 tefachim high, he should have said, what business did you have putting the Ner Chanukah so down low? You should have put the Ner Chanukah higher. Zel alav shma minam mitzvah lanicha b'toch hasara. Don't we see from your araya that it's a mitzvah to put the Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground, and that's why the storekeeper's potter? So amri le, so amri lo, so we say no. Liolam emelecha afilu l'mala me'asara. Really, that you could put Ner Chanukah even up more than 10 tefachim high. So my amrit iboy l'nechui l'mala me'gamo v'rochvo. And what's the contention that maybe we should say to the guy, you should have put your Ner Chanukah higher than where the camel and its rider would reach? Kivan de b'mitzvah ka'asik kuliyai lo atrachiyu rabbanan. Because the guy was being osik in a mitzvah, we're not going to be matriachim so much to have him gauge where exactly he's putting his Ner Chanukah. He's allowed to put his Ner Chanukah anyway. Most Rishonim happen to hold that even though this Gemara is doche the raya, the attempted raya that you're supposed to put Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground, most Rishonim hold that it is a mitzvah lechatchila to put the Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground. However, it has to be higher than 3 tefachim. So lechatchila should rest somewhere between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim. I'm Rav Kahana, just to finish up. Darish Rav Nosan Bar Menume Mishmei de Rabbi Tanchum Ner Chanuka Shenichal Amala Measra Mama Psula Kesuka Kamabui. Once we have the halacha of how low the Ner Chanuka is supposed to be, now we have the halacha of how high the Ner Chanuka can be. And if you put the Ner Chanuka Lamala Me Esram Amma, it's going to be Potter, just like a Sukkah Lamala Me Esram Amma is Potter, just like the crossbeam of a Mabui, that's Lamala Me Esram Amma, is going to be Potter, because you have to see it. There's a mitzvah to see the Schach, or the Korah of the Mabui, or the Ner Chanuka. And Lamala Me Esram Amma, a person's vision doesn't go that high, person's line of sight doesn't go that high, therefore it's going to be puzzle if you are going to put it so high. So Hadron Alachakone, so we made up a little bit of ground. God willing, we'll start tomorrow, the seventh parak, hopefully make up some additional ground.